Hey, I'm Tyler, I'm Chuck, and welcome in to another episode of Inside the Crew, the first episode in 3 weeks, and what a 3 weeks it's kind of been. It's felt like forever, while at the same time it feels like just yesterday that all this sort of started to fall apart. It was two Wednesdays ago, depending on how you look at it, where I remember where I was sitting watching TV, and you see the news that the Utah Jazz players are being told to leave the court. And then a few minutes later, you hear that one of their players have tested positive. And then, it was a few minutes after that, the NBA suspending their season. And at that moment is when all of this sort of got real from a sporting perspective. And it didn't take too long after the NBA canceled their season. It was the next day that we learned the NHL was going to suspend their season. And once that happened, you kind of knew that the junior leagues weren't going to be very far behind. And they weren't. You totally understand why they decided to initially just postpone the season. It's a societal thing, and I mean it's safety, right? And you don't. There are things that are more important than hockey. At the same time, I mean, when the announcement came that the CJHL was not just suspending its season but canceling it, there's still that level of disappointment that you're feeling. You know, there's a lot that goes into a season. And for the plug to kind of be pulled before there's any sort of resolution, before a team like the Crusaders was even able to take to the ice in the playoffs, it stings you, whether you're a fan of a certain team, whether you're a fan of the league, whether you know someone on the teams. It sucks to see, you know, the months and months of hard work just sort of ripped out from under you in a matter of just a few days. So it really was disappointing. It was the abrupt ending of Inside the AJHL on TSN 1260, which I'm obviously hoping to bring back next year. And I mean, I had an Inside the Crew planned out to release that Thursday afternoon. And then all of a sudden it was, well, I can't release this because there's no game happening Friday night like we thought there was going to be. This was supposed to be, you know, the big momentous lead up to the playoff push, and things were going to get busy. The Crusaders were back on the ice. The playoff energy was around the team, and all of a sudden it was gone and sort of a blink of the eye. So a disappointing thing, just taking a few weeks here. I know that, you know, it's an upsetting thing. It's an emotional topic. So I kind of wanted to give, you know, the players and the coaching staff and even myself a few weeks to sort of chew on things and gather our thoughts before I started releasing podcasts again. And I felt like this week was maybe, you know, I don't think there's going to be a better time to start picking these up again. And I think people want to talk a little bit of hockey. You know, everyone in their self-isolation sitting at home needs a few minutes of things distracting them. So I figured if Inside the Crew can provide that, then why not? In a few minutes here, we're going to be joined by Crusaders head coach Adam Manna. We're going to chat a little bit about, you know, how he processed the news and, you know, what it was like meeting with the team and all that when they found out. We're also going to talk a little bit about the 20-year-olds, a little bit about some other players who are now moving on from the organization. And if you're taking everything away and just drilling down on the Crusaders, there couldn't have been a worse year for this to happen. This was the super team. This was the best collection of 20 to 23 players that this organization has ever really had. You got guys who are going to go in the NHL draft, 20-year-olds who are going to go on to do great things at the CIS or NCAA level as well. This team was primed to win a championship. This team was primed to, you know, get out of the North Division for the first time in its franchise's history. So that just adds a whole nother layer on top of this. You know, it wasn't a 4 or 5 seed who had just gotten out of the first round of the playoffs that was having their season ended. This was a group with championship aspirations, with championship expectations, a team that was kind of a few years in the making as well. When you look at players like Savoy, Benning, Guylander, and Atwal all kind of in their final seasons with the organization, this was their one chance to sort of win the championship, and it's now not going to happen. So we're going to talk to Adam about that. Before I get to Adam Manna, I wanted to specifically shout out all the 20-year-olds that are going to be moving on here. Arjun Atwal, Will Zapernick, two guys, they were two-thirds of the most dynamic line we've seen in a while in all of junior hockey. Jacob Kendall, who was acquired midway through the season, Jared White, acquired in the offseason, and you can ask anyone on that team, anyone in the coaching staff, anyone in the organization, anyone who's been around this team, you won't hear them say a negative thing about Jared White. There's Max Wutzke as well. And of course, Reed Irwin. Reed Irwin, and I'll start with him, 192 career junior games, now 19 goals, 87 points, but what he did away from the score sheet is where his impact was felt. I always said he's one of the more underrated defenders in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, and I still believe that to be true. A year and a half with the Sherwood Park Crusaders, and it was a very memorable year and a half. He's now off to the University of Denver. Max Wutzke, 187 career junior games, joined the Crusaders, was sort of that stabilizing force on the back end, could give you, you know, if you needed 15 honest minutes, he gave you 15 honest minutes. If you needed 25 honest minutes, he could give that to you. Just a really solid defensive defenseman. Next up on the list, Jacob Kendall, as I said, acquired at the deadline, well over 200 career junior games, and he was over a point per game in that time. He brought some grit, some scoring to the sort of bottom nine of this Crusaders lineup. He could park it in front on the power play. He could finish off a two-on-one. I mentioned Jared White, a guy with 223 career junior games, 66 goals, and 143 points. Jared White's going off to the University of Alabama, Huntsville now, so he's got an NCAA career ahead of him now, and it's very well-deserved. One of those guys around, I mean, he's loved by everyone in the AJHL. You won't find a better guy in the room than Jared White, I think, is kind of the consensus when you talk to people about him. He was a leader for this team. He had his best offensive season of his junior career with this team, and he found a really nice role on that second line as one of the veteran guys on this club. Will Zapernick, 7th all-time in Sherwood Park Crusaders franchise points, 9th all-time in franchise assists. In 193 junior games, he had 190 points. He was named to the 2019-2020 AJHL Selects team as well. He's off following Jared White and going to the University of Alabama, Huntsville as well. So a ton of love to Will Zapernick, who was a ton of fun to watch in his time with the Crusaders. Always willing to give me time on Inside the Crew as well. It was one of my favorite interviews. So shout out to Will Zapernick. And I'll end on the big one, the captain, Arjun Atwal, number 20. And again, similar to White and Zapernick on all these 20-year-olds, you can't find a person who says a bad thing about Arjun Atwal. 227 career junior games, 254 points for Arjun Atwal. Second all-time in franchise points, second all-time in franchise assists, sixth all-time in franchise goals. You think about that's including the fact he'd had some long stints in the WHL. You think if he would have stayed here for the entire time, he's without a doubt the best Crusader of all time through and through. Third most assists in a season. He was the AJHL's MVP this year. He won the scoring race this year with 107 points. When you think of Sherwood Park Crusaders, when we get 10, 15 years down the road here and you look back at the history of this team, I firmly believe Arjun Atwal will be number one on the list. The nickname is Mr. Crusader, and I don't think there's a better way to put it. So a big congratulations to Arjun Atwal on an amazing, amazing junior hockey career. He's going to have a long line of schools in the CIS in Canada lining up for his services, and whoever gets him is going to be a very, very lucky program. Just an incredible career from Arjun Atwal. So a lot of love to all those guys, Atwal, Zapernick, Kendall, White, Wutzke, and Irwin. And a big congratulations to those six on just incredible junior hockey careers. And then also to Savoy, Benning, Guylander, everyone else who's going to be moving on with their careers as well. We're going to get into that now with our big guest this week. It's Crusaders head coach Adam Manna. Adam, this is our first sort of episode of Inside the Crew since we got the news that the season was not going to be continuing. It's a tough thing to kind of describe, like me personally describing my emotions, finding out that all these junior leagues are going to be shutting down for the year. You understand it, but you're still disappointed. Is that kind of a fair way to describe things?
Yeah, I think that's bang on. I mean, I think if you asked every team that was in the playoffs at the time, if it was disappointing, I mean, they'd all say yes, it's not the way you want to end out the year. And, you know, under the circumstances, obviously this is much bigger than hockey. So, I mean, you understand it, like you said, but, you know, disappointing, especially on our end with us preparing as hard as we did over the 2-week bye and trying to get our guys and our team ready to go. And unfortunately, we found out the day before we were ready to start round two and game one against Drayton Valley that things were going to be postponed. And then it went from postponed quickly to canceled for the year. So it was a tough pill to swallow, but we all get it, we all understand it. And I think we've been doing our check-ins with our players here the past few days, and now I think everybody kind of sees the big picture and how big this thing really is. So, I mean, you can kind of get by it when you understand that, you know, everybody's in the same boat and that it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as it's kind of gone on, like you said, over the last couple of weeks here, you started to gain a bit more perspective on it. I said this off the top of the podcast, and it's not like you and your group were, you know, a scrappy five seed who just got into the playoffs and were wondering if you could maybe win the second round. It was a group with championship aspirations and championship expectations is the way I put it. How tough was that for you to kind of sit down with the guys maybe one last time and have to, you know, deliver that news that the season wasn't going to be going on?
Well, it was, yeah, again, it was kind of weird how it all went down. I mean, because it was a little bit unorthodox, because we finished practice up the Thursday afternoon and everybody was, you know, excited, ready to go. And Kevin Love, Ryan Maxwell, were both at practice. They just got off a call with the league on what was going to happen next. And, you know, they had a chat with our team on, you know, it doesn't look good right now, but we'll kind of update you later tonight on what the final verdict is. And, you know, it was essentially, we had to let them know through text that we weren't pushing forward. So we almost gave our guys a 2-week breather just to let it kind of sink in. And it was tough for, you know, not only us as a coaching staff and organization, but you can only imagine the players. And we couldn't even get together with the players because Hockey Canada mandated that we couldn't have any team meetings or any group gatherings. So everybody kind of had to go their separate ways and in a hurry. So, I mean, the only way we've been able to communicate is through text and phone call. So we really haven't had like a proper send-off for our group. So we're obviously hoping that once this settles down in the next, hopefully, couple months, that we're able to just bring our guys back together and do a proper send-off and kind of do a barbecue and a, you know, kind of a farewell to our 20-year-olds that are moving on.
And you just ended there with the 20-year-olds that are moving on, and that's kind of who I feel for most is these guys who, you know, they work 3-4 years of a junior career here trying to get a chance at a championship, and they go through this ride, and to sort of not get that kind of proper send-off and not get the finish they wanted, it's tough. It's tough, right? Like, those are the guys who you really sort of feel for.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are, yeah, a little bit, they're selected out of the group because it is their final year, but you obviously feel for everybody on our team, but because everybody put in the same amount of work, mm-hmm. and you know, everybody was fighting for one common goal, but for our 20s that are moving on, I mean, we can't thank them enough from the organization standpoint. I mean, for guys that have been here for, you know, 3+ years, Atwals, Aperneck, you know, and then our the guys that have come in for either 1 or 2 years, like Irwin, Wootski, Whitey, Kendall, right? All those guys all had championship aspirations. They were all, you know, everybody was in it for one common goal, and that was to bring, you know, our first championship to Sher Park in 41 years. So, I mean, I know checking in with Josh when the guys were coming back to clean their gear out of the room, and again, it was selective because guys had to come in one by one. You know, there was definitely some tears and some guys that were taking it pretty hard and were emotional, but that's definitely normal. And you know, I think everybody knew what we had here, and we had a special group, and those groups don't come around too often.
Arjun Atwal, the captain of your team this year, one of those 20-year-olds you mentioned. When you look back on the Crusaders organization in 15 years, Arjun Atwal is going to be at the top of the list when you think of, you know, one of the best Crusaders ever. And whether it's the production on the ice, the leadership on and off the ice as well, whatever school or university program gets this guy, they're going to be lucky, hey?
Yeah, you can't find a better person or player than Arjun Atwal. I mean, it's exactly what you said. I mean, he's been the face of the organization for the last 3 or 4 years now. You know, even with him going up and down to the Western League there a little bit, we knew that Arch, if he was to come back, he would be the guy that would take us to where we are today. And, I mean, we can't say enough good things about the kid. I mean, every single day he's focused, he's ready, he prepares like a pro, he gets the guys ready, he keeps everybody dialed in. And then that leads to, you know, the on-ice product, whether it's in practice with him pushing guys or you know, just leading by example with his habits and his details and how hard he works. It's it's incredible. And I mean, again, you want to replenish your group with guys just like Arch every single year if you're going to be successful. And that's now our, you know, our goal is to you know, find guys like, you know, him, Zapernick, you know, Irwin, Kendall, Whitey, you know, all those 20s, Wootski, that were here because they did everything the right way. And you know, it's going to be tough to replace, but we we're determined to try and get back to where we were this year for next year.
Two other impact players that are moving on, Carter Savoy and Michael Benning, are going to go off to the University of Denver now. To sum up their two seasons in Sherwood Park, it's dominant and entertaining. Are those kind of the two best words, maybe?
Yeah. Spectacular, fantastic, astonishing. Yeah, like you could use any one of those words to describe those two. And they had tremendous careers, even if it was only 2 years in the white and green. And you know, again, two guys that you would almost categorize as 20-year-olds as well, with the way they handled themselves, the way they played day in and day out, and just the amount of success that they had. I mean, it's terrific what they've been able to do, and now they're getting ready to take the next step, not only in life, but as a, you know, as an hockey player, whether, you know, that's going to the USHL or going to college in Denver, or we're getting drafted into the NHL draft this upcoming summer, hopefully, as long as the draft continues to go. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting for both those guys. And obviously we again thank them for everything that they've done for our organization. They've been another, you know, they've been two of the poster boys for our team in terms of what we're looking to now find again in, Carter with his scoring ability and everything that he brought. And then Mike with his ability to get out of our own end and make that first pass and, be active in the rush. And again, quarterback or power play. So both those guys are going to be missed, but we're so proud of them, and we know they're going to move on to bigger and better things.
There's a big piece in The Athletic today on the two of them about how every step of their hockey journey they've been doing it together. What are the chances you think an NHL team sees that, and do you think there's a chance they could both go to the same NHL club?
Well, I'm not an expert on how the you know, how that's going to work, but I mean, you never know. I'm sure every team knows their background and knows that they've, you know, grown up together all the way through and through. So, I mean, you wouldn't count anything out if you were a betting man, but I would say it'll be tough. I think they'll go to two different teams, but you just never know, I guess, if teams, if there's a mutual agreement there, or if teams have maybe multiple picks in the one round, they might be willing to take both of them. You never know.
Either way, it's going to be pretty cool to sit down, watch the NHL draft. I mean, I watch it every year anyways, but when we get to that end of the first round, beginning of the second round, it'll be a feeling. I don't think, like, I've never covered two players who are going to go this high in a draft before, and when their names do get announced, it'll be cool, you know, if we're watching it on TV to kind of see, you know, the highlight pack in Crusaders jerseys. Like, it'll be a cool experience.
Yeah, everybody's excited about that part, and, you know, it kind of just gets... again, gets the organization a little bit more on the map when everybody gets to watch that, you know, worldwide or globally. And I mean, it's something to be proud of from our standpoint, and obviously again for both of those kids. And I'm with you right now. That's kind of the only thing to really look forward to is the draft now. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I guess we'll just wait and see how this all plays out. But that's I think. Everybody in the organization is going to have their eyes glued to the TV, and they're going to be waiting to see where both those guys end up and how, you know, hopefully how early they end up going.
Before I let you go here, it's going to be a long off season, but eventually next season will start. Your group is losing a lot of impact players, but there's still some exciting young talent in this organization. Ty Mueller is the guy that I kind of have circled as a player who I think could take a big step next year, but I guess it's sort of a two-part question. What specifically do you think a guy like Ty Mueller has to do to sort of take that next step? And who are some other players that maybe you have circled as the next sort of core of this organization?
Well, for Ty, I mean, he's got draft eligibility, and he's going to be on the radar of NHL teams next year as well. So it's going to be a big year for him. And you know, I just checked in with him the other day, and he's already doing what he needs to do in terms of preparing for next year. Guys are starting to work out. They're starting to do what they can from home, and really that's all you can do right now. But, you know, Ty should have the goal of wanting to double that point total that he accomplished this year. He had 30 in 50 games, and his goal should be to get to at least 55, if not 60, next year. And he'll be a guy that we count on in every situation, and not that that's maybe any different than this year, but he'll that'll be ramped up even more next year. And then other guys that will need to step up will be guys like Tanner Fincarrick. I mean, he had 12 goals. We're hoping he can be a 20-goal guy. Blake Sadlowski, same thing. He had 11 or 12. We're hoping he can elevate his play to a 20-goal guy. And then you got your supporting cast in Nick Magus, Bryce Bader, Vinny Scott, you know, out of the returning guys up front, that'll be very instrumental. And those guys were extremely good in their roles this year, and we're going to need them to not only bring what they brought this year, but they're going to have to bring some more scoring and to help us out and make sure that we have some balance and depth. Next year, obviously, it's too early to tell right now, but we're thinking that instead of maybe having, you know, where everybody's talking about the one line and Savoy, Atwell, and Zaprenik, that we're going to have four very balanced lines that can score, and that's kind of what we're aiming towards right now with our recruiting piece. So, and then on the back end, I mean, you look for Connor Hart to be a big guy on the power play, and that could step up, and, you know, he had 10 goals this year, let alone in preseason where he had another 10, so really already had a 20-goal year, and he's going to be looking to get a deal next year as well. So there's lots of guys, McDonald, Ettinger, you know, all those returning guys, Minox. So we still got a lot of good pieces coming back, and we're obviously hoping that everybody can have a good offseason since it is a little bit longer now, and that everybody comes in even more eager to get back to where we were to finish this year.
Yeah, I think eager is a good way to put it, because after having things sort of taken away from us this year from a hockey perspective, I am already beyond excited for next season to get going. Thanks for your time today, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tyler. It's good to talk to you again.
All right, there you go. That's Crusaders head coach Adam Manna joining me on the line. A really good chat. Like, it's a tough, it's an emotional subject that, losing a season when you were that close to the end, right? Like, if this happens in November or December, I almost think that it's easier to stomach because you weren't so close to the ultimate goal. And that's obviously really frustrating. There is a lot to talk about with this team still. You got Ty Mueller being named to the Viterra North All-Rookie Team, hoping to have him on the show in the next couple of weeks here. A ton of guys named to the All-North Team as well. A couple of signings coming over from Manitoba, hoping to have Kyle Chase on in the next few weeks as well to talk about some of those new recruits. But that's going to do it all for today. I'll be back once again next Wednesday, next Thursday. We'll see when I can release another podcast. But hoping to chat with Kyle Chase in the next few weeks here about what's next for the Sherwood Park Crusaders. I really want to thank you this week for tuning in, listening to me ramble as you have all season. Excited to start doing these once again to get back to some sort of normal of talking hockey once a week. This has been Inside the Crew. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you again next week.